Please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. As a matter of theme, if we look at verse 27, in the last part of the verse is several words there, a little phrase, and it reads, "Those things which cannot be shaken." Those things which cannot be shaken, and then in verse 28, "A kingdom, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." Things which cannot be shaken, a kingdom which cannot be moved. We begin to read in verse 23, or verse 22, excuse me. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaketh better things than of that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, by thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man may do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever." There are things that cannot be moved. I hear of the election in Quebec. It makes me a little nervous. Turkey and Syria casting bombs back and forth, and in the Middle East, again, the hotbed of the world, China and Russia, standing by, speaking little thunder against the Western countries again. This world is not a very secure place. But there are things in the Word of God which the Bible says will never change. Things that we can put our trust in. Things that can give us confidence and hope at a time when there is a lot of despair and discouragement. We read in verse 22, "Ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." I think of one thing that I have found in Holy Scripture, and that there is a city that has foundations, whose maker is God, whose builder and maker is God. This is something that can give us confidence. This is something that is eternal. It is not shaken by earthquakes. It cannot be covered by volcanoes. It cannot be wiped away by tsunamis. This is something that is changeless. If anything, if there's any change, it is a change for the better. If it is a change there, it is because the Lord Jesus is preparing a place for us there. So it may be changing for the better, but it is beyond this world. It is beyond anything that can be shaken in this world. If you're putting your trust in this world today, you are putting your trust in something that I can guarantee by the Word of God, that soon every element in this world is going to explode. You can read that in 2 Peter chapter 3. There's nothing left of this world in the future days. But if your trust is in the Lord, and your trust is in your heavenly home, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died so that we might have everlasting life, and that we might be with Him in glory and in that great city, it will never change. Nothing can get a hold of us there. We read in this passage as well, to an innumerable company of angels. That means they cannot be numbered. When someone says that a third of the angels followed Satan, which the Bible does teach, I do not know how much a third is, but the two-thirds are innumerable. They cannot be counted and they cannot be numbered. The Bible says that there are a number of these angels, not just a guardian angels, but a number of these angels that look upon the Father's face, looking that in a moment or a twinkling of an eye, He might send them from His presence to help us in some way or other. There are guardian angels in the Word of God, and they are there. You know, when we worship the Lord in heaven, and we speak of the blood of the Lamb, when we are there, the angels, the Bible says, fall on their faces and they cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb." That is something that this world cannot touch. That is something that the world cannot change. That is something beyond happenings or losses that may come in this life. We have in the Lord these things that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken. I believe it's a great thing. We read here also, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Jesus said to the disciples, they were doing great things for Him on earth. He said that we should praise God that our names are written in heaven above all else. You know, that's the truth. When you are saved, your name is written there. It's written in the books. and it is immovable. And I think of the saints that are already there, the church of the firstborn. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. We're written in heaven, and there is a general assembly there. We have little assemblies here. We have twos and threes here. But there is a great general assembly. We sometimes think of conferences. We try to get together for conferences to hear the word of God, to get together and sing praises. And it is a delight to us, or a delight to me. But you know, the general assembly in heaven, what a chorus that will be. And you know, there are many of our loved ones that are already there. Sometimes I think I know more believers in heaven than I know that are on earth. And I believe, I believe it is true. It is a wonderful gathering that we will have there. It cannot be shaken. Jesus said, don't you fear those that could destroy your body, and then there's nothing else that they can do. They cannot take away our place in heaven. They cannot take the names out of those books. They cannot touch our loved ones that are already gone. To tell you the truth, spiritually speaking, our names, and we are at the right hand of God, the Bible teaches, is so sure that we are called glorified in the past tense already. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and again in Ephesians chapter 2. What a wonderful future, what a wonderful present. The wonderful present is a life of faith. I have never seen the city. I have never knowingly seen an angel. I have never seen all the saints in Montague gathered in one place. Not even here, the ones that are living. I have never seen that great book. But it affects my life, and I know it affects the life of believers as they see these things that are written in the Word of God. Then we read that God, the judge of all, we've come to God, the judge. It's kind of funny, you think you try to stay out of the way of the judge. I have got no desire at all to meet an earthly judge. I remember once we adopted a little boy that became our son by adoption. Whatever we have, which is not much, he shall be an heir of that. But you know, that was the first time I ever stood before a judge. And I was nervous. I was very nervous. And I tell you, I'm sure I will fear. I shall fall on my face before the judge of heaven and earth. But I know one thing that he has judged. He judged all my sins in Jesus Christ. He judged them all. And all the punishment for all my sins were placed upon Jesus Christ the Lord upon the cross of Calvary. And therefore, in the essence of, I am sure that we shall tremble at the greatness of God. Words like terrible and awful, not in the sense of being bad, in the sense of being beyond what can be comprehended. What a place it will be. We shall judge, stand before the judge of all. But the judge of all, he shall have nail prints in his hands. The nail prints for my sins. It says in the verse 22, ye are come. And you know something? I've already come to Jesus Christ. Come to trust him. And this morning, my prayer for you is that you come to trust him. If you're hanging on to the things of this old world, I'll tell you, they will not last. But Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. One of the great things that are written in this passage, one of my very favorite phrases, is the next one. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Just men means justified men that have been given the righteousness because of their trust in Jesus Christ. They have been declared righteous before God. But then it says the spirits of those men are made perfect. Their spirits and their souls. You can't necessarily see them. The resurrection is not yet in heaven at this time. And yet I believe everyone that has ever been saved and has passed on, and maybe a two that haven't died, that they're there and they're made perfect. I remember a preacher saying once, this wonderful when ever all the believers get to heaven and they'll all know that I was right all the time. Well, we'll all be perfect there. And all of our little foibles will be done. You Christian men that look at your wife and you say, that'll be a great day. All you wives that look at your husband, you say, that'll be a great day. And it is a great day. Some people say, well, with all your differences, how are you going to get along in heaven if you can't get along in earth? Well, see those little words? Made perfect. We're justified here, but we're made perfect there. There's going to be such a change in me on the way up that some that perhaps find the very sight of me distressful and negativity, you'll say, my, what a change. The spirits of just men made perfect. Made perfect. They're all there. They're unshakable, unmovable, beyond anything that any unsaved may do to them. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the covenant that he has made, the new covenant, none of those things that I did on earth will be accounted there. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You'll see the new covenant written in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. I have a favorite part of that. All of it is wonderful. But because of time, I'm just going to look at one part of it. In verse 34, Jesus says this, God says this, the triune God says this, and its guarantee is carried out by the Lord Jesus. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive their iniquity. That is what he guarantees. That is the covenant. That is the treaty. That is the deal. Jesus, I shall see Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. It is unshakable, that deal. I feel for anybody that is trying to get to heaven by works. Because it automatically, no matter what you choose, you cannot keep up with even your own standards. I remember going to university and taking a philosophy course. And the man there was speaking about all the waste in our society and all the fast food and everything, which in university kind of have kept me alive. But anyway, he spoke about all these things as being terrible. Yet during that year, he walked out on his wife and he moved in with a woman. Doesn't matter what your standards are, you're not going to keep them. Imagine he wouldn't go to McDonald's, but he's a little inconsistent, isn't it? It is wonderful that there is no inconsistency with God. There's not even a shadow of turning. His covenants, His treaties, His words will never be changed. The mediator of the new covenant. Every day, every Lord's day, we come to the Lord's table. We look at the emblem upon the table. The Bible says that emblem in the cup is the emblem of the blood of the New Testament. The New Testament in my blood, Jesus said. And what, there's several parts of that, but what is that part? I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. We don't, but taking part of the cup, it's not that we're taking part of the new covenant. It's because we've already taken part of the new covenant. We're taking the cup. What a wonderful thing. And the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know, when Abel's blood was the blood of the lamb that he slain was spilled, the Bible says the Lord had respect. He had respect unto Abel's offering. But the Bible says that we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And those that are sanctified are perfected forever. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ will never, it will never lose its power. We sing that. We should sing it. The blood will never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Nothing can change that. These are things that the world cannot touch. These things are the very things beyond, in fact, are included in the judgment of God as those that He would give to those that will come to Him. And the Bible says, He that cometh to me, I will not cast out. Verse 25, we read some very solemn but very logical conclusions to this. See ye refuse not him that speaketh. You can refuse this. You could choose the things of this world. And do you not think those that are in the graveyard here in Sherwood Cemetery and all the cemeteries in the city, that there are not men that have, at some time in their lives, have said, I want everything I can get out of this world, and I'm not much concerned about the next. Don't refuse him that speaketh. They escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. They didn't escape. Not in the Old Testament they didn't escape. A whole generation lay in the desert of Israel because they refused the Lord. And they were all religious and lost. Don't refuse him. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You know something else that will never change is the word of God. It says here, he speaketh. They refused him that speaketh. And the word of God will be forever and ever and ever. And it will not change. Don't refuse him. This book will be here when you're dead. This book will be here when this world is gone. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not the world only, but also heaven. There shall be signs in the heaven, the Bible says, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be signs from the heaven, fire from heaven, at the end of the millennium. I'd just like to read one of the examples here of something that is yet future. I beheld when the Lamb had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth untimely figs when she is shaken in a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? They shall not stand. There is a day coming when the Lord is not only going to shake the earth, he's going to shake the heavens also. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 21, the first heavens and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. The Lord is going to shake the earth. It says, yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that is, things the Lord has made, the things we look at. This building is not going to be here in the millennium, let alone the eternal state, nor will there be one element of anything you see when you walk outside, of grass or trees. Not one bit of it, except the resurrected bodies of the saints of God. And of them there shall not be one element lost. I tell you, it's something. There's things that are going to be moved. There's things that are not going to be moved. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I'll tell you something, God is worth serving. He's worthy. He's worthy to be served with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. I would not care to fall into the hands of the living God in any other way than I have, that I have come to him. And by his grace, he has received me. In this old world, whatever it can do, there are things that it absolutely cannot do. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Our time is getting along. I just want to look at one more thing. In verse 5, he says, Let your behavior, your conversation be without covetousness, desiring the things of this world. Be content with such things as you have. Maybe all you got's what you got today, especially if the Lord comes today. But notice what it says. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When I see a believer lying in a bed of illness, it is almost innumerable, but I'm sure it is numerable. The times that I have prayed with those folks, the words of God, I will never, never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. Never. Whatever the world may do, the Lord will never leave us. We're receiving an unshakable kingdom. Unshakable! So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. It's interesting, Lazarus, one of the Lazaruses of Scripture, died at a rich man's gate. The dogs were licking his body, the sores on his body. He was longing to eat of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And he died. And a band of those innumerable angels carried him off to Abraham's bosom. And today, he is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my helper, is what his name means, Lazarus. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Imagine how he'd feel. The Bible says he was carried to the rich man's gate and laid there. What if one morning the men were late, half hour late, or whoever took him there? He'd be pretty scared. And what if one day they just kept walking and walking and walking, and this poor beggar, he said, I need those crumbs, I need those crumbs. And they did not come. And sometimes we feel just like that. I need this world to respond positively to me. But it doesn't seem to come. It doesn't seem to come. Imagine if we could boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me. That be something to be able to face the day like that? The Lord is with his people, and the Lord helps his people, and he will never forsake them. When Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was truly forsaken. But he was forsaken so we shall never be forsaken. Well, there's more things in the scripture that are unshakable. Many more things. But it's 12 o'clock. But I would be amiss if I did not say to you as a crowd this morning, would you not come? You're in for a terrible shaking. I have no idea what it would be like, and never shall, to open my eyes in hell and agony. But that's what's coming. And everything that you have scrimped and saved, and every bit of pleasure that you have bartered away, or bartered for, every bit of it is going to be lost for you. So I say to you, would you not care to have things that will never, never, ever be shaken? Would you not care to have something that will never, ever, ever, that cannot be removed? I would pray that you might repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon his name. And remember this, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's just pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this time together. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for this passage of scripture. Oh, Father, to think of the security that we have, to think of the safety, to think of the fellowship we have with thee, to think of the inheritance that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord, to think of forgiveness of sins, to think of all these things and more and more and more and more and more. And even after we are in thy presence, there shall be more and more of things that shall never be shaken, things that cannot be lost, things that shall remain. Oh, Father, may we not trade a few paltry, miserable things of this world for an eternity of bliss and plenty. And Jesus Christ himself and thyself, a Father, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Oh, Father, if there be any, no matter how twisted their minds may be in many areas, but oh, Father, may they see this morning the way of life and abundant life that is in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.